Today's featured guest, Jeffrey Nichols from Roslyn Capital. Jeffrey Nichols, Senior Economic Advisor to Roslyn Capital, along with Marin Alexa, leading precious metals economist for over three decades. Welcome back to the show.
Good to be here with you today.
It's so great to have you back with us. You know, in recent interviews, you're not a professed gold bug, and that's just fine. Many of our guests are not, but they all seem to share a common factor, and that's an interest in the yellow metal. And this sector in particular, it's really caught your attention. You were one of the few to predict a very good year for the precious metals. And you say in recent interviews that we could see 1400 before year end.
Of course, as the clock ticks away, it becomes less likely that we'll see 1400. But it's still a possibility. I haven't thrown in the towel on that call yet. I think when the market turns higher, it might move rather quickly. And so we could see an increase to 1400, even higher before year end. We are, after all, in a seasonally positive time for gold prices. Autumn and early winter typically are periods when gold does well, at least in part because of demand coming from China and India, which is very much seasonal, dependent on their own holiday schedules. And also, we anticipate perhaps that Wall Street will stumble, and that could give gold a swift kick higher at some point, possibly before year end or early next year.
You know, it's interesting that you would bring up U.S. equities and the indices there, because traditionally they're negatively correlated. But we've seen a decoupling of that correlation in 2016. We've had the equities market move to record highs along with this remarkable, let's call it a rebound rally for now. You seem to think, though, that might actually shift to a new bull market were we to close solidly above 1400, might even make an attempt on 1900 bull market high of 2011 and perhaps into new territory.
First of all, let's look at the equity markets. Equity markets are at record highs. And at the same time, I think, as do many other observers and analysts, that the markets based on the S&P or the Dow are facing tough resistance and expectations that they're going to continue to score higher and higher have diminished greatly. Gold, on the other hand, is well off its historic highs, unlike equities. From that point of view, has room to move higher. So equities don't have room to move higher based on current record levels having been achieved. And gold does have the room to move higher based on the fact that we're still quite a distance from its historic high. So from that point of view, it's not purely a technical issue, but it's nevertheless important for prospects. More and more investors, particularly institutional investors, hedge funds and the like, are looking for alternatives to traditional equities and bonds. And we've seen these institutional players to some extent turn to gold in recent months as ETF demand has perked up. Gold held on behalf of ETF investors has risen in recent months fairly solidly. That too is a factor to keep in mind when looking at the outlook for this year and for beyond. Just to recap the main points so far, we expect seasonally positive demand coming from India and China, and that will be a positive for gold, helping it move higher in the next few months. At the same time, in Western markets, Europe, United States, institutional demand has perked up, and we've seen that and have evidence of it from the statistics.
Okay, so you brought up a really interesting scenario that I'd like to expand a bit further. Equities are at all-time highs. Gold is still, although it's had a wonderful year in the precious metals, still recovering from a brutal five-year sell-off, which presents a compelling relative valuation, a bargain.
The point I was trying to make, but you said it more articulately. Gold, as well as it's done so far this year, has a lot of room over the market to move higher, whereas equities are probably overvalued, even though they are at records, and don't have that room and flexibility to move higher.
And I would add that the metals managed to rally despite all-time record highs in U.S. equities, which is just, I think, another perhaps sign of underlying strength or momentum. But you also brought up more important points I'd like for us to delve into, and that, of course, demand from outside the United States. And I think you do an excellent job in recent interviews regarding just how important this will be for U.S. investors as well to keep an eye on external demand and supply. Issue.
Importantly, this type of demand comes from what we would call retail investors, individuals, not institutions. It also means that the gold has been fast to come out of the market, but will be slow in coming back into the market as the situation changes. People in Asia who are buying gold, whether it's small bars or jewelry, are not likely to sell it anytime soon. Similarly, I should mention also retail investment in the U.S. and in Europe has been fairly positive, as indicated by strong sales of coins. Like colleagues in the East, Western investors who are buying coins and small bars are also likely to be buying for the long term, are unlikely to sell anytime soon, even if prices rise substantially.
In recent discussions, you've also brought up this idea of Indian demand, and in particular, how farmers use gold and silver as a form of savings account. You might think of holding precious metals as the original savings account. It's not only a savings account, but it's also key to their festivities and wedding ceremony.
Exactly. From the point of view of Indian demand and financial intermediaries, towns and villages across India, but especially in the south, where there are no banking institutions. There's no branch of Bank of Mumbai, for example. They rely on gold as a form of not savings, but of wealth, becomes the currency. That's only going to increase.
We are interested in the potential for other Brexit-like exits, if you will, in Europe as well as around the world. There's some talk about Portugal, Spain, Italy considering leaving.
You know, from the point of view of gold, the important thing here is the uncertainty around Europe's political future. And we've already got a rise in uncertainty, and it'll probably get much bigger as the differences from one country to the next become more apparent. So I look at that being one of the positive factors for gold in the next few years. Even if the European monetary system doesn't fall apart, just the idea that it might is enough to give investors a pause and send some of them buying gold as an insurance policy against that sort of political risk.
So if we look at around Europe, for instance, I don't know that many people know that Sweden has a negative interest rate. The ECB has issued considerable sovereign debt, which is in negative territory, just slightly negative. China has one of the most negative rates around. I've read, and I hope this source was credible, that you can have as much as a 3% negative rate for certain debt from the People's Bank of China. If that's the case, it really punishes savers. It forces money back into speculation. Does it not?
Well, much of the demand for gold has little to do with interest rates, real or otherwise. A lot of people are talking about negative real rates being a factor supporting gold or a reason to buy gold. But I think that investors are not so cognizant of where the real interest rate really is and are buying gold for other reasons. And particularly the institutional investors, they're looking at substantial capital gains as the motivation for buying more gold, whether it be in physical form or in ETFs, or for that matter, gold mining equities. I'm not of that school that thinks real rate of interest is such a crucial factor. Whether you get 1% or pay 1%, is small compared to the potential change in the capital value of the investment. Investors are looking for gold to go up not 1% or 2%, but they're looking at gold to go up, you know, 20%, 30%, 40%, and even more over the years ahead. That's a magnet far greater than what the real rate of interest may be causing investors to buy or not buy.
You also note that China's central bank, as well as Russia's, have been aggressively purchasing the yellow metal. But Koos Janssen and Dr. Stephen Leeb have also pointed out recently that it appears that China's private banking sector, many of the financial institutions, are accumulating sizable positions in gold. And there's even some question about whether or not those numbers are accurate. Stockpiles could be considerably larger. Any thoughts?
The Chinese banking system has been evolving, and one of the aspects where we've seen important change is in the development of gold trading facilities in the major commercial banks in China. I think that's really why we're seeing a buildup in inventories at some of these banks. It's not necessarily because they're speculating or investing in gold per se, but they're becoming important participants in, or have already become important participants in, the world gold market as dealers and traders competing with the major U.S. and European banks head on to capture an important part of that market.
You've also gone on record noting that folks should consider adding 5 or 10% to their portfolios of the precious metals. Would you then advocate adding a larger percent should we close above 1,400 and remain within a solid upward trend in anticipation of an advance to new highs?
Oh, sure. When I say every investor should have 5 to 10% of their investment assets in gold, we're not saying that it would be inappropriate to hold more gold as the economic and investment environment changes. So we want to have a core position, 5 to 10%. And then depending upon your reading of the prospects for Wall Street in general, you might want to have more in physical or in some gold-related proxy.
You talk about the potential for breaking above that lower 1900 level peak from 2011. You know, some of our listener base have become a bit jaded after 5 years of grueling downward trend. Can you give us any fundamental factors or drivers behind an advance to new highs?
From a long-term point of view, we certainly expect more demand coming from Asia, particularly from China and from India, as those markets continue to grow. Part of it is simply a reflection of population growth. These countries have the world's largest national populations, and they're growing year after year by leaps and bounds. And prospectively, new buyers of gold who are in a position that they can buy gold and will buy gold simply because it's what people in those countries do. And it doesn't require higher or lower real interest rates. It doesn't require higher or lower inflation. It is a natural growth in the market and in demand that we anticipate almost regardless of what happens to the world from a financial and political point of view. It's really quite simply the thing that people do in those countries, and it doesn't take any great explanation. There are other factors at work which increase the probability that those countries will become increasingly more important in the world of gold, but it doesn't require anybody really to change their behavior or look for new reasons or excuses why they should hold gold. It's just something that people do in those countries.
Briefly add here, the rising affluence in China and the emergence of a solid middle class with the background, you know, recent generational propensity or interest in the metals is almost a perfect combination for solid demand on a forward basis with these strong, vibrant economies. So it's just another reason, you know, to add the metals to a portfolio. Tell people more about Roslyn Capital, how they can find your very interesting articles free to the public at your website.
Roslyn Capital can be easily found just by Googling Roslyn Capital, and you'll come to their website, which will have more about their services and investing in gold. And the reports that appear on that website, sometimes I've also put them on my own website, which is nickelsongold.com. So an investor who wants to see my point of view from month to month can take a look at that.
Well, we thank you for your time and look forward to having you back on Gold Seek Radio.
My pleasure.